week in the markets, gold finished at a three-month record high as investors sought shelter from the equities sell-off. Well, welcome back, everyone. Your host, Chris Walczek, back with you on this October 13th, Season 13, and ominous Episode 666 edition with two more big guest interviews. Well, volatility did return this week to the financial markets after the Fed posted more hawkish guidance in their latest meeting minutes. But volatility can be a good news for the precious metals shares, which virtually across the board moved higher. Is the bottom in place? Does this multi-month high in gold signal that a new precious metals bull is underway? Well, not so fast. These are the big trillion-dollar questions investors are scratching their heads about, going through the charts, crunching the numbers this weekend. So who better to kick off the analysis than Wall Street legend Ralph Acampora, titan on Wall Street and co-founder of the Chartered Market Technician designation, CMT. The former director and technical research head at Smith Barney outlines a more rosy outlook on U.S. shares. He's not convinced this is the top, and neither is your host. The Dow Jones Industrials Indexes did recently flash a new record, confirming Dow theory buy signal. He's not terribly concerned about yield curves or the 3-4% rate. He says, don't even think about it till we get to 5%. Be sure and check out all of his comments. Then President Niko Kakos, CEO and director of Blue Sky Uranium Company. What a gem of a company this is. Makes his show. They, of course, are headquartered in Argentina, a leader in the uranium business, which, of course, is forecasted to be huge in the coming years, with demand for uranium expected to soar as energy demands kick into high gear, especially in China and Europe. The company is a member of the prestigious Grosso Group. Folks will remember Joseph Grosso. We had him last week on the show. Good friend. Golden Arrow Company. But the big story here might just be the little known fact about their vanadium potential. This semi-precious metal was recently around $5 a pound. It just skyrocketed to $25 a pound, and they are literally printing the stuff, you might say. Be sure and listen to his key comments on that. Quick note now, this is the weekend of the Merck Investment Conference. They have a symposium and a very worthwhile charity run walk. You don't have to pay anything. It's free to the public. I probably won't be able to attend, but if you're anywhere near the Chapel Hill, North Carolina area, this is a must-attend meeting this weekend at Morgan Creek Capital Management. That's West 301 West Barbie Chapel Road, Chapel Hill. The reception begins at 12:30. You'll have opening remarks by Mark and Axel at 1 p.m., and then portfolio discussions, winners and losers, markets, have a little break, then on to gold, and even blockchain, which was supposed to be one of the topics I was covering. 6 o'clock dinner, and the race is on Saturday. Please tell them we sent you. No, the race is on Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for the half marathon and 8 a.m. for the 5-miler. That's at Blackwell Street, Durham, North Carolina, 27701. And remember, for us here in the Southeast, it may not be making the headlines anymore, but Hurricanes Florence and Michael just devastated Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida, especially near the coastlines. Many displaced people and pets, they could really use some help. Maybe sponsor a pet, or even offer a couch to someone who needs help. There is all kinds of volunteer opportunities. The Red Cross needs your help. Easy to sign up online. And I'm starting a new blockchain conservation initiative. It's a proof of safe tusk. That's right, POST. You know, there really is an unnecessary ivory trade that's particularly focused on Africa. These highly intelligent elephants and even the rhinos are unnecessarily slaughtered. More than 700 rhinos in just the last few years have been cruelly killed for their tusks. And it's unnecessary. Tusks can be essentially removed without dispatching the animal. And so my idea is very simple. By removing the financial incentives from poachers and empowering potential poachers by collaborating with local officials who then can give these highly trained hunters the tools they need, you know, a simple cheap iPhone to snap a photo of the creature, and the tusk can be removed with a dart gun. The tusk is then removed and given to the local officials, who then sell it on the market and recoup some of those expenses. And of course, the image then can be sealed forever in an ERC 721 Ethereum contract that will hold the image of that saved creature. So you have a remarkable potential collector's market that will open up here for these saved creatures. And it might just spark, my hope is, a revolution in the charitable funds industry. Because, of course, this is applicable to not only just this one little project I'm working on, but across the board. Dog and cat and bird and all types of vegetarian and vegan projects around the world, you name it. Someone or something needs help. I believe that this is a potential charitable model that could remain extremely transparent, have the backing of course, sound economic fundamentals, where you simply remove the monetary incentives from the market and then exchange those incentives to the good folks. It's, of course, totally nonprofit. So if you'd like to get involved, of course, we can only pay out in tokens. But, you know, who knows? Maybe it catches some wind at some point. And you'll be rewarded for that. Plus, you have, of course, the philanthropic pleasure of helping. And we have our Q&A hotline, 641-715-3900, extension number 514049. That number again, 641-715-3900. And you'll want our mailbox number, 514049. We'd like for you to jot those numbers down. Plug it right into your iPhone, your Android, or just POTS landline, and give us a call when something's troubling you or you just have something you want to vent. We're here to tackle your questions and comments every few shows or so. Robert Ian wraps up the show with his latest must-hear report. Gold Seek Radio begins now with a market weather recap. Visibility virtually unlimited over the precious metals sector, with gold wrapping up a three-week stealth rally closing at a three-month-plus record high as funds flowed in from the global stock market sell-off. At Friday's closing bell, the yellow metal was higher by about $7 at around 12:30. Silver picked up just a penny. It already had its rally a few weeks ago, closing at $14.65. But the precious metal shares added about $1.01% at $70. And black gold gave back about $2, finishing around $70. Palladium, though, dropped just $15, ending around $1,057. Hard to believe it's that high, which I believe could reach parity or even eclipse the price of gold as the auto manufacturers worldwide continue to stockpile the precious metal for their catalytic converters and other essential industrial components to front-run the imminent tariffs. The Bitcoin ETF, GBTC, added 20 cents, finishing around $7, but I'm very concerned that a close below 6,000 could lead to a retest of 5,700 below there. Darby Dragons. The top story moving the precious metals sector this week, the U.S. dollar leaped to a multi-month record following the release of the latest FOMC meeting minutes by the U.S. Federal Reserve on Wednesday, indicating a slightly more hawkish stance on monetary policy. Senior Fed officials believe that interest rates will have to continue to move higher, and we, of course, see a virtual lock on December as the next quarter-point rate hike should take us to about 2.5%. So this makes the shorter-term risk-free government bonds a little more attractive than the longer-term, continuing to twist that yield curve a bit, and the more restrictive monetary policy increases concerns of higher borrowing costs for individuals and corporations. The rise in the treasury yield over the last few days made investors seek precious metals, with the 10-year note at a 7-year high just last week. In related news, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin backed out of the scheduled Saudi Arabia investment conference, suggesting slightly strained relations, perhaps, between the U.S. and the major oil producer, adding to investor appetites for the metals. Plus, U.S. shares plunged on Thursday on increased fears of the United States-China trade war and the potential for continued weakness in the Asian markets. China's currency, the yuan, recorded its lowest nadir since January 2017, and the sharpest correction since the trade war began. Bottom line, precious metals and Bitcoin. The metals ignored the dollar rally this week. They focused instead on the risk-on, risk-off trade, with gold benefiting most from the abrupt key sentiment shift in U.S. stocks. It wouldn't surprise, I think, most of our listeners to know that gold's rally has perfectly coincided with the big sell-off in U.S. shares. Plus, the StreetTrax Spider ETF, the largest gold-backed gold ETF, continues to mark record inflows as investors and institutions alike are turning away from overvalued shares in search of safe havens. With the typically favorable holiday season fast approaching, if this U.S. dollar rally stalls, the gold bulls might just make an assault on $1,300 resistance. Moving on to the Wall Street Report, heavy cloud cover hovered over the New York Stock Exchange for the third week running on hawkish FOMC meeting minutes and growing concerns on the trade war between the two economic superpowers. Decliners outnumbered advancers on the New York Stock Exchange by about 3.5 to 1. The 30-stock Dow Jones finished near break-even, ending at 26,447. The S&P 500 finished near break-even at around 2768, and the NASDAQ saw 3.25 to 1 ratio favoring decliners, falling about 50 points, half a percent at 74.50. The top story impacting the equities, news that Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin decided to skip the aforementioned investment conference in Saudi Arabia, raised some issues of potential strains in relationships between the U.S. and one of our key oil suppliers. In addition, the president of the European Central Bank cautioned that concerns about their economy. The news sent the Italian bond yields to a record high, indicating elevated risk aversion, and that, of course, sent euro shares lower, according to MarketWatch.com. Meanwhile, the technology and consumer discretionary shares were the biggest sufferers by Friday. The tech sector, no big surprise there, declined about 2%. Out of the 11 S&P 500 sectors, 9 were in negative territory. But with all this gloomy news, there was, of course, a bull market somewhere, as there always is, and the precious metals investors will delight to hear that gold shares flew higher. Goldcorp, ticker GG, is posed for a major rally, and expect it hopefully to perform similar to Randgold, which is up nearly 25% over the past couple of weeks, partially in due to recent buyout news, though. Bottom line? Precious metals. Well, with the Fed talking tough on rates and global central banks now entering negative quantitative easing operations, lightening up their balance sheets for the first time in a decade, plus global trade tariffs and the risk of trade wars, was really all it took to pull the rug out from under Wall Street. One point I think that's caught little attention from top analysts, these trade tariffs actually have a short-term boosting impact to corporate earnings and profits initially, as executives buy up resources and key production components for their manufacturing processes, as well as on the transportation sector, which kicks into overdrive to make sure all those deliveries occur on time. There's the energy demand in the oil sector. Transportation increases demand for energy. However, now that that might be passing, maybe there's the hangover with the trade war, and it's time to batten down the hatches. I think that is a cloud on the horizon that some of us need to be paying attention to. But, you know, leaving on a positive note, USA Today Greed to Fear Index remains in the extremely fearful zone. That means the herd is terrified here for at least 2 or 3 weeks in a row. The trend remains solidly strong. So long-term investors, I think, are probably fine. It just looks like a short-term wiggle for now. Coming up after the break, more Gold Seek Radio. Pleasure to welcome back Ralph Acampora to the show, co-founder of Chartered Market Technician Designation, CMT. How's the weather in the Midwest today?
It's a little cool and rainy.
Well, that sounds like most of the United States today. It's great to have you back. We're in the middle of a slight correction in U.S. equities. Those perma bears are out in droves again, telling us the end is nigh. We've heard this for about a decade now. And do you have any positive comments for our bulls on Wall Street?
Yes, I do feel a little bit concerned about a couple of things. Prior to the sell-off that we experienced starting last Thursday and Friday, you know, things to me look pretty good. Confirmed Dow theory confirmation. The industrials at an all-time new high, and the transportation at a new high. And the leadership in the small and mid-cap stocks were fine. You know, so it looked good. But I have to say, the last Thursday and Friday, we did a little bit of technical damage. Not enough to become a permabear by any means, but at least to give a heads up. When we make the near-term low in the next, hopefully in the next few days or a week or so from now, you know, get this little correction out of the way, I have to insist that when the next rally comes, it has to cross the board new highs. Because a month or two from now, if that does not happen.
Do you think then, even with the NASDAQ recently hitting, what was it, I think 81.50, maybe a little higher, almost twice its year 2000 peak, we might be looking at something a little more substantial, just a healthy correction?
Well, I'm not looking for a 20% correction just yet. What we're in the neighborhood of is a correction for me is anywhere between 5 and 10%. I think that's almost a given. If anyone has been following this market over the last number of years, you have to agree that we got a little bit ahead of ourselves. So a long overdue pullback or pause or correction, whatever, as I said, between 5 and 10%, I think is a given. I think it would be very, very helpful. But as I mentioned a moment ago, any subsequent rally that we get from here or slightly lower, I have to see new highs, because if not, then a couple of months down the road, you and I could be talking about lots of divergences. You know, a divergence by definition is this failure to make new highs, and Wall Street abhors failed rallies, because that gives the seller an opportunity to liquidate into strength.
Let's talk about some of the things that might cause a potential pullback. I mean, we obviously have seen, you know, West Texas crude oil soar to highs we haven't seen in several years, with an earshot of $80 last week. That makes some folks think, well, maybe the economy is a little too hot and the Fed's going to continue putting the brakes on the economy in 2019. I think you may have mentioned that nothing really upsets you with crude oil till we cross 100.
With the most recent activity and the pushing to new multi-year highs, I think conservatively light crude, a target of 80, which is about 4 or 5 points from here. So I think that's a given. It could push to the low 90s. We'll see. Energy front are still strong.
Okay, and another topic that our guests bring up, the flattening yield curve that we've seen and the potential for an inversion as soon as 2019, as investors start to anticipate the Fed wrapping up their rate hiking cycle, maybe two or three rate hikes and then that's it, they're thinking in 2019. But, you know, again, you don't worry till we cross that 5% on rates threshold.
Yes, I like to look at the history of the yield. Yield chart, and I have a graph that goes back to the early 1940s. Between 1940 and let's say 45, 46, we had a trading range similar to what we're having now. It was in the mid into the 60s that we had rates starting to rise just like they are today. But if you overlay the market on top of that, you had a bull market, a secular bull market in the late 50s and early 60s. That secular bull market ended in 1966-67 when interest rates crossed 5% on a meaningful basis. So, yes, we could live with scary moments like we're getting and people fearful of rates and all, but history's any guide. 3.5% is not the red line for me. It's 5%.
And speaking of history and guidance, for students of technical markets, if you go back and just look in the S&P and the Dow, even the NASDAQ circa late 80s and all throughout the 90s, I mean, you see this sort of 45-degree angle ascent where the, you know, especially in the weekly chart, where the 50 and 200 period moving average price never really even comes near those. I can't help but see some parallels between those times, maybe not economically, even as a nation, but technically.
If you're looking at that, the moving averages, you're correct. If you look at them on a monthly basis, they're fine. Golden cross and dead cross, for those who watch the moving averages. The dead cross is when the shorter-term moving average breaks below the longer term. Especially on a monthly basis, that would be a long-term negative, and the record is pretty good. And we're not close to doing that, so. As far as I'm concerned, the secular bull market's alive and well. But keep your heads up. You know, some of the leadership, you know, some of the techies are experiencing some weakness. I get a little concerned about things like packaging companies like International Paper breaking down, BlackRock breaking down, some of the railroads breaking down, home builders not doing well. You know, they reflect their early indicators of maybe a problem.
And, you know, the FANG stocks have been struggling just a bit there. It looks vulnerable to further selling.
You're correct. If you look at over the last, since June of last year, actually, it's been in a tight trading range, and it's been had a series of rallies, of course. And as you say, we're coming back and testing the April low of this year.
You know, there's always, I guess, some clouds on every horizon, no matter how sunny the weather.
I just bring up these points because we as technicians, the thing that's most important to us has nothing to do with the headlines, has nothing to do with us personally. The market, technically, is very objective. And that objectivity allows us to have discipline. And the discipline is watch the trends. And if you start to see them broken, especially the major trends, you act accordingly. You lighten up if you have to. That's the discipline of technical analysis. And in some cases, I see that happening, and I am lightening up. It isn't across the board. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as you rotate a little bit. And that, the word rotation, the lifeline of every bull market, like the current leaders in some of the technology stocks falling out of favor, that's fine, okay. They rotate into something else. And that's something else, if you look at utilities and some of the defensive stocks, they appear to be doing a little bit better.
Give us your thoughts, then, if you don't mind, on precious metals. It's been a tough couple of years for the XAU, and I know our listeners would love to hear any positives that you can try to muster for the precious metals shares.
Looking at the XAU right now, as we speak, December 2016 low was broken a while ago, so was sitting on a perch there. There was a lot of price activity there. And that breakdown suggests, unfortunately, a little bit of stabilization here. I'll give you another level to watch. September low of this year, it's around 60. So it's currently at 65. If you're in it, hold it, you know, but if it takes out 60, there's your discipline again. You put a safe stop right under that.
Yeah, I like that idea. You know, have some type of safety mechanism in place. You know, the commodities have been showing signs of life. Crude oil, a big factor pushing the CRB higher. But, you know, there's also been some other individual movers like palladium crossing that $1,000 point. Looks like it's headed for perhaps parity with gold. And then there's also many other rare metals or near precious metals, rare earths and things of that nature, people keeping their eyes on. Anything interesting in the commodity sector from your perspective?
Other than crude, no, I'd say the agriculture's trying to stabilize, and that's been long overdue. Need a lot of before it gets too super bullish on that.
All right, Ralph Akinpura, we want to thank you for your time today, and we'll have folks directed to your website and all the information you provide.
No, thank you very much.
Pleasure to welcome to the show President Nico Kakos, CEO Director Blue Sky Uranium Corp, winner of the Explorer of the Year Award and headquartered in Argentina. Blue Sky is a leader in uranium discovery in that region, rewarding its loyal shareholders with exceptional returns. Also, they're part of our favorite, the Grosso Group. Welcome to the show, Nico Kakos.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. I wanted to begin the discussion today with just a brief overview, if you don't mind, of Blue Sky's collaboration with the Grosso Group.
Blue Sky is managed by the Grosso Group. Joe Grosso himself is the chairman and executive chairman of the and a director of the company. I'm the president of the company and been with the Grosso Group since the Grosso Group's inception almost 25 years ago. So Grosso Group brings a junior company like Blue Sky, a larger company's sort of backbone in terms of a quarter century of experience in dealing with communities and community relations and government relations and whatnot that would be unattainable in the company by itself. And furthermore, it brings tremendous technical expertise. Our VP of Exploration, Guillermo Pensado, was awarded, as you stated earlier, Explorationist of the Year in Argentina by his peers. So it really brings a blue ribbon class of professionals together toward, you know, identifying uranium and vanadium deposit opportunities that Blue Sky's identified in southern Argentina.
extremely high caliber executives increases and should increase investors' confidence in the operations. So moving on, Blue Sky's flagship Amarillo Grande project was an in-house discovery, according to the literature, with a lot of potential here as a key domestic supplier of uranium, fast-growing Argentine market, and of course on the international market as well. Now, the Ivana project, from what I've read, very exciting recent results, 61 holes drilled, very positive.
The Amarillo Grande project is not just a single deposit here. It covers what is an entire district. It's a trend. The property package that we've got there encompasses a trend that extends 150 kilometers length from north to south and over 50 kilometers wide. And within this entire trend, we have done work and we see both uranium and vanadium occurrences. And because of this such a large project, of course, you can only chew a little bit at a time. So at the most southernmost portion of the Amarillo Grande trend, we focused on a section called Ivana. And that's where this year we've been able to discover our first deposit and published our first 43-101 resource calculation of just over 19 million pounds of uranium and 10 million pounds of vanadium. What we're doing there is we're advancing now this deposit twofold. One, we're doing a preliminary economic study to highlight what we believe the economic potential of this deposit. And second of all, we're working at growing and expanding this deposit at the same time.
One of the more, I think, unique and exciting prospects with the Amarillo Grande project, the sandstone uranium vanadium deposit, semi-precious metal, but vanadium was trading as low as $5, $6 a pound about a year or so ago, and now it's blasted up as of today, last check, nearly $25. Well, it just turns out that your Amarillo project has estimates showing 200% higher than the typical mine there, that according to C's report, and even more promising drill results outside that area of the property.
Yes, and you're correct. It is per pound. When we started working on Amarillo Grande a few years back, we always known that there was an occurrence of vanadium that occurred with the uranium. That $4 a pound, we thought, well, this could be a nice credit. And now we're seeing the price of vanadium almost equaling the price of uranium, and now we're saying, wow, this really almost doubles, in some cases, the value of our project. And in some targets, we're seeing that they have four times the amount of vanadium to uranium. So this is really putting a whole new spin on our project. Definitely we're taking a new look at some of these vanadium-rich sites that we've previously identified. There'll be more to be reported on that as we go forward.
I think that's, as they said, the icing or the cherry on the top of this unique opportunity for investors today. I hope that catches their attention as much as it did ours. Moving on, you know, one of our favorite mining regions, Canada. According to the literature, again, you're at least taking a look at, as well as other studies in the Saskatchewan area.
Yes, we work very closely with the very famous Chuck Edwards, who lives up in Saskatchewan, and the Saskatchewan Research Council. They do a lot of the analysis, mineralogy work for our project. So they've done most of the uranium and vanadium work globally. So they're an internationally renowned center for the kind of work that they do. And all of our work gets submitted up there, and we ensure that we get some of the best engineering input into the analysis for our project. So we're very proud to be working with that organization.
We briefly touched on this, but Explorer of the Year, of course, this award was this year, the Argentina Mining Conference. And obviously, this is a feather in the cap, if you will, for Blue Sky.
We're very proud to have our VP Exploration, Guillermo Pensado, awarded this very prestigious award. I think it just speaks volumes to the caliber of professional people that we've got working for Blue Sky. The entire team there, we're super proud of them, and think the results that we're getting right here with Amarillo Grande is that is a testament to the great work that they've been doing.
Would you like to add any further developments or potential areas you'd like to point to listeners and prospective investors today?
Amarillo Grande represents, arguably the most important uranium-vanadium discovery in Argentina in the last half century. And I think now as we go forward, we've got two main events really I think investors should really watch out for. In the next couple of months, we're going to be publishing our first economic study. We'd like to really underscore the economics and how profitable an operation like this could be. That's going to be a very important milestone for the company. And second of all, the ongoing exploration and step-out work, we're going to see, you know, we're hoping to see that Amarillo Grande becomes one of the largest uranium-vanadium districts in the world, and very exciting to be having the opportunity to work and lead an organization like this.
We'd like to encourage you to direct your web browsers to goldseek.com and bloomberg.com. Enter the ticker symbols BSK.V. And for the over-the-counter market, it's just BKUCF. Please jot these down. I don't own any shares, but I'd like to shake the piggy bank on this one. President Nico Kakos, look forward to hearing more in the future.
It'll be a real pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
It's a pleasure to welcome back Andrew McGuire and the CEO of an alternative global marketplace, the ABX Exchange. This is Thomas Coughlin. Part two, the Kinesis ICO. This is a crowdfunding opportunity that we've been looking into. Very excited and lots of institutional interest. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you back. Who would like to start off today, Andrew McGuire or Thomas?
I'll let Thomas go ahead, and then if I can fill anything in, I'll certainly do that.
Great. Fire at will.
Thanks for having us back, Chris. As I was mentioning last time on the show, what the ABX team has developed is something really quite unique and special. It's an entirely new monetary system, and it's a monetary system that's based on movement and utilization of money, effectively. So we've focused in on what makes a currency successful, and ultimately what makes a currency successful is it being an effective store of value, an efficient medium of exchange, and we're focused on doing those things to the very best capabilities we can. So if you look at store of value, there's no better store of value than gold. Throughout the millennia, it's been the greatest store of value. Until recently, it hasn't been an effective medium of exchange. It's quite difficult to use as a currency, really, in this modern society, until cryptocurrencies have come about, whereby, you know, we can transact in digital currency. And of course, we can use our mobile devices to do so, or also debit cards, where we've gone with, you know, banking and payments, which also help facilitate this for cryptocurrencies. So we think with the partnership deals that we've put together, and one of them's with a very large mobile bank, with a, you know, cryptocurrency wallet connected to a debit card, you can do payments and banking, international transfers, remittances, etc., all through this wallet, and then onboard and offboard fiat currency in 250 countries around the world as domestic transfers. I mean, our efficiency and cost effectiveness basically through online banking facilities is second to none, really. We provide a solution that's much more cost effective and efficient than certainly any bank I know. We've tied that all into our Kinesis currency suite. Now, we've taken another step further in actually attaching a very significant yield system. It's a multifaceted yield system to the Kinesis currency suite. I say suite because we'll be offering various different cryptocurrencies. The primary ones are based around gold and silver, and we also are attaching other assets to this as well, including physically stored banknotes as well. So we're looking to suck capital in from all over the world. So our multifaceted yield system, we've got four different yields. The most interesting I find, and I call it an active yield, although there's only sort of one leg that's active to it. And this is for anyone, really, whether you're a private individual or whether you're a large trading organization, you can benefit significantly from this yield. It's basically people who either bring their bullion into our system or purchase bullion in our wholesale system, they bring these coins to life. So bring this currency to life. It's then emitted into the blockchain where they can send, spend, or sell it. And by doing so, they'll actually receive a yield on those coins forever. It's in perpetuity. So just by basically bringing capital into the system and then offloading it, whether you buy goods and services or send it to someone or actually just sell it, you actually receive a yield on that capital forever, on that value forever. As the coins float through the system and transact, then a share of the transaction fees gets brought back. So the yield is actually based on true economic activity as opposed to a debt-based system and the fractional banking system, the fiat currency. So the second yield is a holding yield. So for investors who wish to just park their money passively, then we also offer what we call a holding yield. And that's just for keeping your Kinesis currency in the system, just like a bank deposit. The thing is, our modeling of the yield system is much more attractive than bank deposits. So, I mean, our forecast, our base case forecast, are for a passive return per annum of about 8.5%. And it can go up much further than that, depending on the utilization of the currency. So we can't give you like a set yield figure. It depends on the actual, I guess, the success of the currency and how many transactions go through. But this thing is set up for massive adoption, and we already have it through the integrations that we've done. I'll go into some of those deals a little bit later. The third yield, we call it a depositor's yield. So the parties who cannot, you know, participate in the wholesale market, then they can get the same sort of benefits just by their initial deposit into like their e-wallet through our system. And the third yield is a recruitment yield. And this is what I find very, very interesting as well. And this increases, I guess, the viral nature of our system by whether you be a mum or dad wishing to make an extra $100 per week, etc., or whether you be a multi-level, a network marketing company or an affiliate marketing, online affiliate marketing company or something like that, or a broker dealer who wishes to bring their customers into the system, or a business wishing to pay their employees, etc. This becomes very interesting. For the recruiters of e-wallets, they receive a share of the transaction fees of the e-wallets that they recruit, like forever. So you'll share in the transaction fees of every e-wallet you recruit. That helps enable it to, you know, spread virally quite quickly as well. And everyone's incentivized here, whatever market participant you look at, everyone's incentivized. And because we're talking about money as well, money touches everyone. Obviously, you know, there's only a very small proportion of the world who actually truly appreciate and have an affinity towards gold. So what we've done here is take gold, that's the greatest store of value, the greatest form of money in the world, and wrap it into basically new world innovative technology and make it money that's highly efficient and also highly rewarding. We've put together a solution. It's a monetary system.
This is really, I think, the breakthrough people sometimes have difficulty wrapping their minds around. Gold, of course, several thousand years of monetary experience and renowned worldwide as the store of value. But then there is this new protocol, and the protocol is the blockchain. And the blockchain actually allows for incredible transparency, virtually instantaneous transactions, the Swiss Army knife currency. You know, we have these dollars that make great reserve currency. Bitcoin is a crypto reserve currency. You combine the sound money qualities of the precious metals along with the blockchain. We covered several interesting bases before the discussion today. First of all, thank you so much, Thomas, for that overview of what's going on. But there's so much here that I want the listeners to sink their teeth into. For instance, the new Kinesis blueprint, or what some people refer to as the white paper. It gives a great overview of your bank, your Visa card, the mobile fiat wallet fees. And that's just one little piece of this puzzle. Can we tell people how they can get a copy?
Yeah, certainly. You can put a link up on the webpage, up on our webpage. It's live. So it's at, the website is kinesis.money. That's our web link.
Very good. And Andrew McGuire, I understand that Tocqueville showing a lot of interest.
Do you know, Chris, I can only use the word tectonic. We have had so much interest, institutional interest, and I think this is one of the key elements here. This is such a well commercialized currency. It's been thought through absolutely brilliantly. Now, for example, and that's just one example, but we've had so many of the very largest of these institutionals coming and approaching us and saying, look, hang on a minute, you're saying to me, and I think this is one thing that has to be absolutely clear, that every single coin that is emitted into the system is 100% backed by either gold or silver. There is no paper gold or silver involved in this. It is 100% allocated. So if somebody buys a currency, they know that it's actually physical. Now, for example, if you're an institution and you have 5 tons of gold or 3 tons of gold, whatever it is, sitting in a vault, in an independent vault, you can now emit that into the system. You still own that gold. It hasn't gone anywhere. Those bars, those numbered bars, are still in your name. Now, you have a choice. Do I want to yield or don't I want to yield? Well, obviously, it makes sense to emit that into the system because there's no risk to that. Now, I'll just say one other thing. Chris, your reach is phenomenal. I can't believe we did one interview, I think, was it a couple of weeks ago? It seems like a day ago, but a couple of weeks ago. But your reach reached all the way into the UK here. I was approached by one of the largest, I won't say their name right now because we're going to do something with them and I want to let them have the thunder on this, but we were approached by one of the largest, the finance editor of one of the largest Sunday papers. What they see here is, hang on a minute, you mean to say, and this is people, they're about to, you'd imagine somebody's going to open their Sunday paper. They don't care about gold. They don't know about gold. They have nothing to do with gold. But suddenly they see, hang on a minute, I can get maybe an 8% return on a tier one asset. And it's ethical because every ounce is LBMA approved. It's not blood gold. It's come through the system. It's KYC'd and every single aspect. So you've got three elements there. You've got a yield that you can't get anywhere else. You've got a tier one asset as for the Bank of International Settlements, and you've got it ethical. This is going to go viral. And I think that's just, and your reach to even get that far. And we haven't even publicized this yet. So Chris, but I just want people to understand. This is physical. It's not paper. It is allocated. So anyone who has a concern about that, it is absolutely going to be addressed.
I'd just add to that as well and say, basically, ABX, the management of ABX has obviously been building this out now for quite some time. We've been building it out very quietly. And in fact, we set ABX up as a wholesale exchange, which is now really coming along nicely as far as becoming the leading physical precious metals exchange of the world with the integrations that we're doing into the likes of Deutsche Börse and postal systems, et cetera, et cetera. We've always had the vision of finally, basically, the evolution of blockchain and cryptocurrency technology. We've been able to do it. The ABX team we've really studied money and monetary history closely, and we understand all the nuances of building out a marketplace. And it's very specialized to build out a marketplace to bring it all together and make it liquid and make it active and bring the participants into the marketplace and have the confidence in the marketplace. And all this metal that will be stored through ABX's quality assured vaulting network with an unblemished track record operating since 2013. So it's not like you have to trust a new entity. You're trusting you don't need to trust anyone because we have a multi-layered audit and verification system that's all transparent and published, et cetera, et cetera. So that's one fantastic thing about this. It's an established team and group of partners have combined and unified their efforts to bring this into reality, this vision. But one big thing that I'd say that we've really tried to combat is this notion, this phenomenon, Gresham's law of money. Now, for example, if Kinesis just offered a holding yield, then firstly, the yield wouldn't be so great because the money would just be hoarded into the system. It's not incentivized to be utilized as a currency. So that's why we've come up with this highly unique yield system that stimulates money velocity. So it promotes people to actually use it as a currency. Buy the gold, bring the coins to life, you're effectively being your own central bank by bringing these coins to life, then actually you receive a benefit forever by spending them. Say, for example, someone spends or sends or sells $10,000 of gold per month. And if they're selling, then they can just revolve it around. If it's just $10,000 and it's not compounding, that's $120,000 per month that they're getting out into the system. I mean, per year that they're getting out into the system, and that's working for them for really nothing. And they can just keep on doing that, revolving their capital, bringing more and more into the system. You're just letting it loose, letting it go out into the system and work for you. So you're active initially, and then it becomes a passive you. By just simply utilizing the currency, you share in the economic activity of the system forever. And obviously, if you're doing that, then you're incentivized to bring others into the system to utilize it as a currency as well. And this is the whole viral aspect of it. This is why we think that this has the ability to lead a revolution from the small person up, facilitates a person-centric revolution here.
I'd like to give people who are just, again, coming up to speed here with this project an idea of the advances you've already made in the area. For instance, the Indonesian Post Office Partnership announcement in our last discussion. But you've also been working on the Kinesis Velocity Token. And this is interesting because you have an upcoming ICO and then the blockchain, the Stellar aspect. But also I'd like to know more about this Deutsche Börse Group clearinghouse. I understand that you have a partnership announced there, and that is expected to be integrated by Q3 2018.
Yeah, correct. What we've done with the Deutsche Börse Group, so it's a big exchange group, one of the largest exchange groups in the world. They will be clearing the trades of ABX. So it's a different model to, say, the blockchain in a sense. It's called central clearing, where they operate the clearinghouse, and it's through an entity called European Commodity Clearing. But what that does is integrate us with the largest organizations, trading organizations in the world. So they have like 23 clearing members. I mean, that opposes to the LPMCL handful of clearing members. They have 450 members. So with that integration, we integrate into 450 of their institutional members who can trade in the ABX system, but that's all integrated into the Kinesis system. So the Kinesis system utilizes the ABX technology to create this currency. It's a very unique system where we've got a wholesale market, and from the wholesale market, you buy these coins and they're instantly emitted into the blockchain. So as soon as you buy it, then it's brought into the blockchain, and that's the market for those coins that you bought. But you have to buy them in the wholesale market first. Well, that's if you want to be a minter. You don't have to if you're just the ordinary person wishing to, you know, open an e-wallet in the blockchain and utilize it. This is for the more active sort of participant who wants to actually create this currency and earn revenue off the back of it, earn a yield. Yeah, and the other recent deal that we'll do, and we'll do a press release around, is with a mobile bank. Well, I'm not in a position to announce it at the moment. They're a publicly traded company. We'll announce that in short order, but they're very large, and we'll be building, like, we integrate into their millions of clients as well. So our currency will just be sitting within their mobile banking system. Anyone can just set up an account seamlessly and invest in Kinesis. So we've got all these integrations, all these institutional integrations, which are very, very exciting, but we've focused in building out the value proposition for everyone, whether it be mum and pa on the street, whether it be a vaulting provider, and we're working now with a couple of very significant vaulting facilities to bring online literally all their gold and silver holdings. Because they're offering a service to their clients. It's a fee-paying, fee-charging service. They can take a solution to them, say, okay, well, with the gold that you have or the silver that you have in our vaulting system, you can actually earn a yield on it. And, of course, none of their clients are saying no to that. Why would you say no? There's so many different strategic ways that we're just sucking in metal holdings and bringing online metal holdings all around the world. It's billions of dollars worth. And it's very, very exciting times, really. The other thing I find hugely exciting is, what is a company, how is a company valued? A company is valued to the extent of its, like, revenue-producing capabilities. And you can look at, you know, future cash flows and You can assign a value to a company based on its revenue-producing capabilities. If a company doesn't have revenue capabilities, then it has no value. In the case of gold, it didn't have revenue-producing capabilities until now. But gold was valued as a currency, and because it has scarcity that's controlled by the universe, then that's where its value came from. But in this case, we're actually attaching a yield and revenue-producing capabilities to gold, and for the first time in doing that, and there's a very good chance that we could see a very significant revaluation to gold because of this, because that revenue-producing capability actually has value attached to it. The consequences of that are very interesting.
No, exactly. I mean, for folks that are maybe new to the gold thesis, the Kinesis Crypto Bank and all of the programs here might accelerate a return to a more sound monetary standard by increasing transparency vis-a-vis the blockchain and their operation. Andrew McGuire, any other comments?
Well, I think you just touched on something very, very important here. I think for those people that do understand the gold market, and obviously you have a lot of listeners who are very, very savvy, what do you think this is going to do to the gold price? I mean, we're talking about what has been a paper-centric price that's been established through the non-delivery markets such as the COMEX, where really 99.9% of all transactions are settled by cash and never take delivery. We're talking about the LBMA system, over-the-counter system, which is a $5 trillion a year market. Now, that doesn't even account for derivatives, which is basically leveraged at 100 to 1, and we have absolute provenance for that, and we've provided those details to you before, and that can be, if people want to go to GATA and research the sort of leverage that's involved, we're looking at least 100 to 1. And if you start to add in the exchange for physical flows that are flowing out in the hundreds of tons a week, that are being shoved into forwards and not delivered, it could be 1,000 to 1. We don't know, but it's significant. So in this case, this solution is we're going to see the paper market in the rearview mirror of Kinesis. It is going to be tectonic. Every single ounce that flows through has to be physically purchased and physically vaulted. This is phenomenal. You cannot buy paper to settle these positions. So what's that going to do to a market that's so highly leveraged?
And it's ironic, Andrew and Thomas, because here we sit on the cusp of tectonic shifts. The magma is stirring, and I think the volcanism is certainly indicating that we could see an eruption in the precious metals market, and just from a technical, let alone fundamental perspective. So your timing might be just right here today. Thomas, any closing comments?
Yes, I didn't answer one of your questions before, Chris, just around these Velocity tokens that we're just opening up and currently in pre-sale for. We're offering, so 25% discount to these. These Velocity tokens, they offer the ability initially to be part of the pre-ICO benefits, our bullion-backed currency suite, once it's released with the forecasted launch dates for those being the 1st of May. To access the pre-ICO benefits, which include a greater sharing in the fees for the coin purchases, you need to buy at least one of these. And basically that raises, the Velocity token raises capital for the business so we can take it forward. In addition, all Velocity token holders receive 20% of the transaction fees and a few other revenue lines generated by the monetary system. We really encourage all of your listeners, your audience, take a look at this. Years and years of work has gone into this, and we really see this as a monetary system that can make a change. Potentially, it can be, you know, the true future of successful and sustainable money. Please look us up. Please look up our website and our blueprint, as we call it. The white paper just became, it's too big at this point, effectively. It's not digestible, so we put it more so into a more digestible presentation form. Please take the time to have a look. I'm sure you'll find how profound this opportunity really is.
Yeah, the Kinesis Blueprint, of course, I have it right here on the desktop. This is for everyone to sink their teeth into, take a look at, kick the tires, if you will. I do have to make a quick disclaimer here. In the United States, we have to be very cautious with ICOs, and that, of course, does not reflect in any way on Kinesis. In the U.S., regulations have recently changed, according to the SEC. This may restrict some people, of course, so you'll want to look into that further. But outside the U.S. borders, there are very few restrictions. Andrew McGuire, final comments, please.
Just that, Chris, thank you very much. I think this is the most exciting event, as you say, to hit the monetary system. This is the most exciting event for gold and silver. We'll be looking back after this, I think after next week, when we really see this take off. And the tokens, I believe, Tom, are even going to go on the blockchain next week. This changes history.
I do want to encourage all of our listeners today, subscribers and readers, to certainly pick up a copy of this Kinesis Blueprint version 10. Most likely have the PDF file, of course, linkable on all of the GoldSeek web pages. This is a document definitely worth reading and sharing.
Please contact us either via our website. We'll have like a contact form there, or you'll find our email addresses there as well. As I said, download the blueprint document, have a look over our website. If you want to know any information about ABX, visit our website at abx.com. Plenty of information on there about what we do. We have our press releases out there with our major deals and everything like that. Yeah, please look us up.
And the application forms for the Velocity token are on the website.
All right. Keep us updated on all your progress with Kinesis.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
This is Robert Ian with GoldSeek.com Radio. In the world of finance and politics, data and its corresponding mathematics can often be ignored, but data and math rarely lie. I'm going to share some simple real-time housing data that you can fact-check for yourself, and then decide if you believe the present debt and economic picture is sustainable, or if we are on the eve of another 2008 financial crisis in real estate. At the time of this recording, I went to Zillow.com and pulled up both homes for sale and active foreclosures in three U.S. markets, Los Angeles, Phoenix, and Las Vegas. In Los Angeles, 10,485 homes are either on the market or in some state of foreclosure. Of those, 7,937 are for sale, 107 are foreclosed, but a whopping 2,441 homes are in pre-foreclosure, which means they'll hit the market at various intervals over the next 6 to 12 months. That means 23.3% of active homes in Los Angeles are facing foreclosure. In Phoenix, 8,174 homes are either on the market or in some state of foreclosure. Of those, 6,764 are for sale, 29 are foreclosed, but 1,381 are in pre-foreclosure, which means they too will hit the market at various intervals over the next 6 to 12 months. That means 17.3% of active homes in Phoenix are facing foreclosure. Where I'm based in Las Vegas, 9,925 homes are either on the market or in some state of foreclosure. Of those, 7,479 are for sale, 165 are foreclosed, but 2,281 are in pre-foreclosure, which means they too will hit the market at various intervals over the next 6 to 12 months. That means 24.6% of active homes in Las Vegas are facing foreclosure. If 17 to 24% of active homes in three cities that were some of the hardest hit in the 2008 real estate crisis are presently in some state of foreclosure, what will the impact on the economy be in 2019 as those homes are ultimately foreclosed upon and families are displaced? For that matter, what will the impact be as home prices correct to fair market value as this wave of foreclosures spreads to other regions of the country? Those who ignore the financial lessons of 2008 in politics, in business, and at the consumer level are destined to repeat them. Successful driving skills not only involve keeping your vehicle on the road and safely advancing to your destination, they also include defensive driving, which means knowing how to respond if you happen to hit black ice, wind up in the ditch, or worse. The sheer volume of homes in the foreclosure process is a warning light, telling you there is trouble up ahead. You can ignore that data and what it suggests for the economy. But remember, that data and its corresponding mathematics rarely lie. Are you prepared? And until next time, this is Robert Ian with ConquerChange.com. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, Robert, thanks for another excellent installment. Well, that wraps up this week's GoldSeek.com radio episode. For two new big guests, be sure to check out next week's show. Until we talk to you again, have a great week.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice. GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.